Hello, hi. Welcome to Travel Advice Show. Hi. This is a travel advice show that we do weekly, and we have www.traveladviceshow.com. And my name's Chris Newton, and my co-host Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, doing really well. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm really excited. Today we're going to talk about passports and documents when you travel around the world. And that's really important. I mean, nowadays you really need proper documents to travel to different countries. A lot of people take it for granted that, so it's re really important. So today's May 29th, and it's the start of the summer season coming up.
I think, Chris, we ought to define what passport and visas and things like that are for those that are not familiar. A
Okay.
passport basically is proof of your citizenship. It's issued by the country in which you were born or what your nationality is, and it shows that, for example, if you're English, you would have a British passport, or if you're a Canadian, you'd have a Canadian passport. So it just shows that your nationality is a certain country. It does not permit you or allow you to go into any country. And that's given to you by that country that you're going to visit, and that's called a visa. And so many countries require a passport and a visa. For example, if you come to the U.S., you must have a passport. And some countries don't need a visa because they have a contract between the two countries where you won't need it.
Okay.
And for example, when U.S. citizens go to Canada, we don't need a visa to go to Canada. We just need a passport to come back to the U.S. But we need proof of citizenship, which would be the passport to show we're American citizens from the U.S. But Canada has a little deal with us that we can cross over anytime we want. And if you decide to live there and work there, then you have to get a visa to do that, to work. But to visit, you just go anytime you want. So even though you go to some countries like England, for example, as a U.S. citizen, you will get your visa stamped in your passport when you arrive. So
Right.
you don't have to get it ahead of time. They just give you, I believe it's 90 days that you can stay in Great Britain. And then after 90 days, if you stay longer, you must get it extended. So some countries, though, actually require that you get it ahead of time. And,
Hey Jerry, how,
yeah.
w when you acquire for a visa, or did you have to call their embassy or their consulate, like in your home country?
Well, you can do
What
it
is it?
many, many different ways.
Oh, okay.
What I like to do, if possible, is get every visa that I'm going to that country ahead of time. That way you know you have it, etc. But this is one thing that a lot of people forget or don't consider. Some visas are only issued for a certain period after the date of issue. In other words, there are some Central African countries that if you get a visa, you have 30 days in which you must get there and leave. So if you're going to, say, you're going to go to, let's say, Chad or maybe Burkina Faso or something like that,
Okay.
and they have a 30-day or a 60-day visa that you must use before that time, and you want to stay a month bumming around Europe or North Africa, well, your visa may be expired by the time you get to the country you want to go to. So you've got to plan on that and ask the embassy here in the U.S., the Chad embassy or the Burkina Faso or wherever, is it possible to get extended because I will be touring other countries before going there. Sometimes they say yes and sometimes they say no. So
Oh,
then you
really?
have to do, yeah, you have a couple of options.
Okay.
You can take a risk. You can show up at the country. And sometimes your airlines will not let you on the plane to go if you have an invalid visa because it expired. Because it
Oh.
exceeds that 30, 60, or whatever days. And they won't
Right.
let you go. So you'll have to go to the embassy there, the Chad embassy, let's say you're in Morocco. You got to go to the Chad embassy there and get another visa and see if they'll extend it for you. Then you can get on the plane and fly. Sometimes they'll let you on the plane and you get there. And I've had it numerous times where I arrive and this is expired. And I say, oh, my word, I am so sorry. I said, what they do is they'll make you pay some money and they extend it. And then you can go in. I
Oh,
even
okay.
had one time I was in a country in Botswana. I went by train from Zimbabwe into Botswana, and I didn't have a visa for Botswana because they would give it to you there in the country. You didn't have to get it ahead of time. And I just get out and up the train and just spend a couple of weeks in Botswana. And then I'm going to fly from Gaborone over to Joburg. And they look at my passport and they say, you have no visa for Botswana. And when did you arrive? Well, about 2 weeks ago. And they said, well, where's your visa? And I said, well, I never saw anybody. I came by train from Bulawayo. And they said, well, we must give you a visa. So they got out their entry visa and stuffed my passport and backdated it 2 weeks so they could give me an exit visa to leave the country.
Oh,
so, I mean, every country is so different, and you've got to be really, really careful on making sure this is valid. And there are some countries, for example, that your citizenship may not be allowed in legally.
Oh, right.
For U.S. citizens, we can't go to Cuba or North Korea unless we're invited by the government or we're news people, you know, newscasters, reporters, writers. But a normal tourist legally can't go to North Korea as a U.S. citizen or to Cuba. So as a result, don't even try because you will come back. I mean, some Americans do try it. They'll go via Canada and or Mexico or Bahamas and go in and go on a vacation and pray like mad Cuba doesn't stamp your passport.
All right.
And when they come back to the U.S., they'll just say, I was in Bahamas or Mexico or Canada. And some people get away with it. But if you don't get away with it, I believe it's a $5,000 fine.
Really?
And I have a friend that snuck in to Canada and then went down to Cuba. And they didn't stamp his passport. They did it on a separate piece of paper. But about 3 weeks later, he gets a bill from the Department of State in the U.S. saying he owes $5,000 as a fine for going to Canada to Cuba.
Oh, my gosh.
So they knew he went.
Oh, my gosh.
So he got fined, and if he didn't pay it, he'd go to jail. They paid it. But he says it's worth $5,000 because he enjoyed Cuba. But to make a long story short, you've got to be real careful on going to certain countries because in the old days, and sometimes it happens now, I mean, in the old days, which is the most vivid, Israel. And it's in certain cases, it's still true. But if you get a stamp of Israel for a U.S. citizen into Israel, and it's in your passport, and you go to another country that doesn't recognize Israel, they won't let you into that country.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And at South Africa, you see that. And I spent 9 months going from the top of Africa down to Southern Africa one time. And I had a South African visa, but I had an extension in the U.S. For, you know, 10 pages more. Stapled on top of my South African visa. So I had it covered up, and nobody ever wondered why it was stapled. Thank goodness. So I unstapled it when I got to South Africa. Then I left Africa and went someplace else, so I didn't have to restaple it. So you must be very, very careful on the visas of the countries to make sure they don't expire and to make sure that you're allowed, if they stamp your passport, to go to another country and that doesn't like that country. So there's a lot of things you got to pay attention to. In fact, my wife had to get another passport. She had that situation. She was in Israel, and they stamped her passport.
Oh.
And so they said, you want it stamped? She wasn't thinking. She said, okay. So they did. And then she was going to go someplace else, and that country wouldn't let her in because of the visa. So she had to apply for another U.S. passport to go to that other country. That's where the Israel stamp passport was not valid anymore. So they're very important, and every nationality is very different. For example, when I was a travel agent years ago, I had a client from Mexico City. He was going to the University of Texas. He was about 20, and he wanted to go spend 3 months on an overland trip from London to Mombasa. And he had a problem. I checked because I thought he was a Mexican citizen because he's from Mexico. He's a blue-eyed blonde. That he's from Mexico. So we made everything according to the Mexican visas, and everything Mexicans go everywhere that he was going, no problem. Well, it turns out, 2 weeks before he's going, he's really an Austrian citizen.
Oh.
He's third generation Mexican, that every time one of the boys gets married, or girl gets married, they go back to Austria and marry an Austrian and come back to Mexico.
Really?
So his three generations lived in Mexico all their lives, but they always married Austrian citizens, so he's an Austrian citizen. That changed things drastically. So he had to take a lot of extra money and buy visas as an Austrian
oh,
if you went
wow.
through these northern and central African countries. So you've got to be really careful. Every citizenship is different. So you contact the embassies or the consulates of the countries you're going to, and they will give you the form, and they'll tell you how much money you have to give them, and they can be expensive. So they can be from like $10 to several hundred. And sometimes you'll pay when you arrive. For example, American citizens going to Chile, you'll pay $100 at the airport to get a visa. They stamp it in your passport, and you pay $100. And it's good for the life of your passport. You only pay it once. But the first time, you're going to have $100, or you don't get into the country. And every country is so different. But everybody must be very much aware of it. There's another thing, that we need to worry about is the validity of the passport and the visa.
Hmm.
Some countries, have you ever had this happen to you, Chris? You go to a country, and they say that your passport isn't valid long enough for your visa, so you have to get another passport. This happened to my wife for this trip to Norway, and we were going on this trip in a couple of weeks. Sorry, go ahead.
I have one time I've heard about that actually, like in China, when I got my China visa, there was something to do. I remember them when I got the visa, I remember them, when does your passport expire, you know, and mine expires next year in 2008. I got mine in 1998. And now I have to go down. In America, like in North America, do you go to the post office usually to get a passport, I think?
Well, that's where you normally start for your first one. And I
just
do it by mail to renew it.
Oh, you just do? Okay.
Yeah. You have so many months after it's expired, and you can go online to get the application.
Oh, you can
go
do
down
it.
To the post office.
Okay.
And they'll just send in, I can't remember, I think it's $50, $80, something.
Yeah.
And two pictures and the old passport, and you send it in, and it takes anywhere from, but my wife had to do her, get another one, and it took 4 months.
4 months, really?
Yeah.
I heard you can pay extra money to get it faster, or?
So normally, for the U.S. citizens, it doesn't take that long, but because every U.S. citizen who leaves the U.S. must have one to come back now. It used to be in Canada, Mexico, you just had to have your birth certificate.
Oh, okay.
So, and a photo ID. But now you have to have a passport. So there's millions of people getting them, so they're backlogged. Normally it takes 2 to 4 weeks.
Hmm.
But now this is the part I was talking about, the visa. Many, many visas say the passport must be valid at least 6 months from the date that you enter the country.
Oh, okay.
And if it isn't, they won't give you the visa.
Wow.
And that's happened to my wife.
Oh, jeez.
So there's a whole lot of things that you must worry about if you're going to go to the weird or the more unique countries. If you're just going to Europe from the U.S. and Canada, for example, and Australia, and most of those countries, you don't have to worry so much because they don't have that stipulation. But Iran and many countries in Africa and Asia have that stipulation, so you must be very careful. Something else that we need to talk about that is in part of the documentation and things that surprise people is most airports now in the world, international airports, require money when you leave as an airport departure tax.
All right.
Some of these are built into your airline ticket. Like if you buy a ticket in U.S. to fly to anywhere, your departure tax is built into the cost of the ticket.
All right.
When we went down to climb Kilimanjaro, our departure tax for Egypt and Kenya and Tanzania were built into the ticket, so we paid it on the ticket. Some countries, you can't pay it on the ticket. You must pay it there. So when you leave, so you must check. Some will not take any currency but their local currency, so you make sure you have it. I mean, we're used to just saying, here's, if you want $30, you give them $30 U.S., but they won't take it. They want $30 in their currency. So, and there's no place to change it. So you have to. One time, my wife and I were so busy, we just screwed up. And we just went with U.S. dollars. And we had to take a flight later because we had to go back downtown to a bank, change in their currency, and come back.
Mm.
So you need to check in when you buy your ticket what taxes are included, departure taxes. And then you must also check, if you, nothing included, then you must check to see if there is a tax leaving the country and what currency they accept. I never heard of them taking a credit card.
Okay.
So it's cash. And but the ones that will take U.S. dollars, we take a lot of ones. Because let's say it's $23, and you give them $25, they will not give you $2 back.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Or if it's $16, which is very common, that kind of thing, they give them a $20, they will not give you the $4 back.
All
so
right.
We make sure we have fives, ones, and tens so that we can cover it if they will accept the U.S. dollars. So
okay.
There's those things on the verification. And now, goodness, I hope I'm coming through all right.
You're fine. No, that's great.
Oh, okay, that's good. Basically, some people don't plan their trips far enough in advance, and it ends up costing them more money, or they don't go. For example, some visas can take up to 2 to 3 or 4 months to get, and depending upon your nationality and the country. I know when U.S. citizens go to Iran, for example, it can take several months to get it. And you have to prepay things, and you just can't show up. Now, when you went to China, did you have any problem getting that visa?
Actually, it was pretty good. I think we went with the university, in America, the university system, and I think it was kind of a university trip. So that, you know, we went to visit universities, and I think the embassy was much more lenient with us, probably, or to get a Chinese visa. I didn't have to do anything personally. I went with a group, with a tour, so I didn't have to deal with that. It was included in my price, in my overall group price.
So you just gave them your passport, and they took care of it and gave the passport back?
Yeah. I didn't even have to. All I had to supply is just my passport, and then it was gone, I think, like for a month maybe or a couple weeks, and then it was mailed back to us from the Chinese embassy. So I think it took, I think we went in May and we did the passport and everything like back in, it was like maybe even January or December, if I'm not mistaken. So, I think that it was planned way in advance, to get everything. But I've heard, it really depends. But if you're, we didn't have a problem though, but I've heard of stories that people that they do have some timing issues and just like say if they're from a different country, like we had somebody in our party from South Korea, and that person, it might have been a little bit different than an American citizen. So.
Right. Yeah. Now, another thing that most people don't think about, depending on the kind of trip that you take, is what is called a multiple entry visa. I know we're talking about China. Some people will go to China, for example, and they will bop over into Mongolia.
All right.
And if they don't continue into Russia and they come back into China, you have to have a multiple entry visa.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't, you don't go back into China. You have to get another visa, and it can take a week or whatever. So you must make sure you know how many times you're going back. If in doubt, get a multiple entry visa. It may cost $10 more, but get it. It may not cost anything more, but let them know that it's going to be a multiple. Even if you don't come back, you may change your mind in Mongolia, for example, and go into Russia and come home from Russia while you're there. I know when we went around the world one time, we went into Pakistan, a friend of mine and I, and then we went into Southwest China, and then we went from Southwest China into Kazakhstan, and then we came back into Northwest China. So we had to get a multiple entry visa for China because we went to China twice on that trip.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's real critical that people plan their trips so they won't have to have a problem of not getting back into that country, especially if their brain's going to leave from that country and they don't have a day or two to connect. So make sure that happens because I've met quite a few people in my travels throughout the world who have not thought about that and had to really have some serious things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big issue. I mean, it's really, really important, or it won't let you travel. You know, they won't let you go. Yeah,
I know. Now, a lot of people, particularly younger people, will get the visa, for example. Well, England is very popular for U.S. citizens. They will like to go to England, and they stay there 90 days and maybe get a little job as a waiter or something like that, and they exceed their 90 days.
Mm.
Now, how did you do yours when you lived in England? What did you do?
Actually, what I did, I would arrive, and then I didn't have a work permit or anything, so I just was there. And then I would go, after the 90 days was up, I would either go to Belgium, I would take a ferry over to Belgium or to the Netherlands, and then stay there on a trip, or go to Spain, or go back to America. But I always left every 90 days, and I did that like for 2 years, actually. It was a great lifestyle. I mean, I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it was, I was a little nervous though, because I didn't, you know, so I made sure though my stamps were dated correctly. You know, I was there.
Right.
Yeah. And it was a good excuse to travel too. You know, I have to go, I have to leave, you know, so it made me travel even more probably actually, than if I could have just stayed there, you know, all the time. So yeah, it was an adventure doing that. I think I think you can be very creative too, you know, just on how you travel with your documents, I think. And I think it takes, you have to just do it, and then you kind of learn, you know, as time goes by. But yeah, I mean, Jerry, I'm sure you have some other great stories about, you know, going into countries and just, you don't know what's going to happen, you know.
Well, I mean, one of the times I lived in Australia, I think there is 60 days, I can't remember, or is it 30 days? But I lived there about almost a year, and I would go back. I went to Bali a couple of times, I went to New Zealand several times, I went to Hong Kong. You know, you just leave the country and come back in and start all over again. And I mean, it's expensive for you in Australia, you have to fly to Hong Kong or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's another country you can drive to, or because it's an island. But I went to Papua New Guinea one time, I went to Timor one time. And,
oh, nice.
Just to leave the country to come. And I'd only stay 24 hours and come back unless I wanted to see something.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, just fly back. Yeah. Yeah, that's. Well, that's great, Jerry. It looks like, I mean, so that's good. I mean, we kind of went over, you know, the main issues regarding passports and visas, and
Is the time almost up?
Yeah, I think
really?
So. Yeah, we've been.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any questions about any of it, please email us at our email address.
Yes.
And
our email address is show@traveladviceshow.com. And we have a great website, the traveladviceshow.com website, but also our new number that you can call in and ask any questions you like about traveling around the world on your next trip. And the new number is 801 area code, so that's U.S., so at 01 international code, and then 801-542-9330. So that's our new number, and it'd be great to hear from you. Jerry and I would really enjoy to, give you some good travel advice. Yeah, and
next week we have Lynette Wilson back from Destination World.
Oh, excellent.
And we'll be talking about Fiji and the South Pacific Islands.
Oh, great.
And she's been to Fiji probably 200 times, and many of the islands. Many times, and I've been to those islands at least 25 times each. One or two, I've not been to Niue 25 times, but you know, each two. But most of them I've been to many times. So we're just doing the South Pacific Islands, not New Zealand or Australia.
Okay.
But we look forward to hearing from you all and listening to us.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I mean, you guys have been with us like since December, every week. We haven't missed one week yet, so we're still going strong, and we have a great summer ahead too, and fall and next winter, and it's going to be a great 2007-2008. So,
well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week then, Chris.
Okay, Jerry, sounds good, and have a great week, and see you next week. Looking forward to talking about the South. I've never been to the South Pacific, and I want to go. I got to go.
Yeah, for a thrill.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be learning a lot. So,
Yes.
yep. Okay, till next week then, Jerry. Okay.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yep, thank you. Okay.